the hardest working man in internet radio is my father, George Wilder Jr., and here he is.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for that. Okay, that's enough. Oh, welcome to the show. Welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show once again. Opinion and commentary on this show. My show is my opinion, and that's how it has always been. Okay? And I do report on some things that's in the news. Okay, we have no guest today. There was no guest book for the day, and I think I did that purposely, you know, because, you know, whether I have a guest on the show or not, this show is always a great show. Okay, let's get started. It is wonderful weather in Chicago. It is, let's see, 2 minutes after 6, Central Standard Time, Chicago time. And it is wonderful. I'm in my studio. I'm near the lake. I have my computers and all these stuff in front of me that I need to operate. My son is still out somewhere. I don't know where, but it is wonderful. It is great. It is beautiful. Glad you're here. Glad you can stay. Glad you can listen. Glad that you are podcasting, downloading, and archiving the show. And make sure you tell your friends and family about the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio, WTTTY, on the Wilder Network. All right, you can always hook me up on Facebook, Block Talk Radio, Twitter. I'm all over the place. I'm not hard to find. Okay, the number is 347-857 if you want to call in and chime in. But we're going to talk about Donald Trump. I mean, everybody, I wouldn't talk about Donald Trump or Sarah Palin, but hey, wow, it's all over the network news. It's all over. It's breaking news everywhere that Donald Trump will not be at the Republican debate tonight. Okay? It hasn't started yet. It may start as soon as I get off the air, and it, you know, I will have something to talk to you about when I'm on Monday. I won't be back on until Monday. I'm 3 or 4 days off, and I'm going to take those days off writing. If I'm not on the radio, I am writing, or I am promoting or marketing or cleaning up the house or something. Okay, if I'm not on the radio. And getting my son off to school. He's a great kid. He's a wonderful kid. He loves his mom. That's great. All righty, let's get started. Donald Trump will be the elephant not in the room. That's the headline on Huffington Post. Republican debate, 7 candidates against a man who isn't there. You know, a lot of people are saying, is this a smart move or is it a dumb move? You know what? I can't really say until the outcome is finally arrived. I would have to wait. I could say that it's probably a dumb move because his opponents on stage tonight at a debate, they're going to be all up in Donald Trump's ass. I mean, they're going to be vilifying him, and he will not be there to defend himself. And that kind of vilification will stick with the voters. I mean, you're not there to defend yourself, and if any of this stuff sticks to the wall, it he's not there, you know, so he's going to have his own little venue, and it could be beneficial, depends on how his supporters take it. But like I said, it's a wait and see, and it's a wait and see how the outcome and the responses to him not being there in a debate once it is over. You know, it's just a wait and see kind of a thing. For me, it is wait and see. I can't really speculate if it's good or bad for Donald Trump. I can say, hey, wow, let's wait and see. It could be good. It could be bad. But at any rate, whether it's good or bad, Donald Trump is winning regardless. Because as I said in a few back shows, this guy is winning. He's winning in the publicity department. He's winning in getting his name out there. He's winning in having every damn body in the world talking about it. He's winning, having everybody in the damn world mentioning his name. He's winning at the fact that he is news. You know, whether he's a good president, whether he will make a good president in the White House, I doubt it. Because I look at it this way. I mean, if he doesn't show up, it's like he's, you know, afraid. I think the reason why Donald Trump isn't showing up, this is my own opinion. I think the reason why he's afraid of tough questions. He's afraid he's going to be asked questions that he knows absolutely nothing about. He's afraid because everybody, every Republican candidate on that stage has a bit more experience in politics, foreign policy, and governing than Donald Trump does. Donald Trump, I mean, how many times can you say, I'm going to make America great again? I got the highest poll numbers. I look better than anybody on this stage. How many times can you say that? People like me. How many times? My poll numbers are a lot higher than yours, Mr. Ted Cruz. How many times can you say that? Eventually, you're going to have to start talking about policy. And that's something the Republicans don't know how to do or will not do, is talk about policy and the issues facing America and Americans. They don't know how to talk about it. Like, they know how to rip each other. They go after each other. On national television, they go after each other. And they're all vying for the job of President of the United States, which we, the voters, to give them. But if they're on stage acting like asses, no way are they going to get our votes. Donald Trump, I mean, he's got a lot of people following him. Some people think that most of the people who are following Donald Trump are crazy, like he is. But it doesn't matter. This man could wind up president. And the only way Donald Trump can wind up being president of the United States is that progressive liberals, Democrats, stay home. Stay home. You stay home, we're going to have President Trump. The Democrats, turncoats out there who are going to betray their flock, their constituency, we're going to have President Trump. But as of now, we're talking about the Republican debate that will be minus Donald Trump. And I still say if it's a plus or a minus for them, we're going to have to wait and see until the debate is over and the outcome and the responses. We know Fox News is going to be up in airs because, you know, I don't know. Donald Trump has got a problem with Megyn Kelly. I guess she used to be a model or something, or Playboy bunny. He's got a problem with her. All right, top Republican candidates minus one perhaps will face, well, when they say minus one, they're talking about Donald Trump not being there, will face off Thursday night in Des Moines for a final time before the Iowa caucuses in a crucial presidential debate that frontrunner Donald Trump has promised to boycott. He will not be there, and that's going to be interesting. And the main debate will be held at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on the Fox News Channel. But Trump, who seems to be leading in Iowa and everywhere else, said he won't be there. Obviously, he figures that if he's not there at the debate, that it will not affect his standing in the polls. The candidate demanded that Fox replace moderator Megyn Kelly because he thinks she's asked unfair questions in a past debate and because she has angered him with commentary since then. In other words, he's afraid of being questioned by her. He's afraid that she's going to ask tough questions. And this guy wants to be president of the United States, and he's afraid of some young lady that's going to ask him tough questions? Give me a break. I'm like some of the rest of the pundits around and the media people around. What if he has to deal with the presidents of other countries? If they ask him tough questions, he's going to not show up, boycott, get pissed off, take his toy, run home. This guy is not qualified to be president. He doesn't have the guts, the stamina, and the wherewithal to be president of the United States. He just disqualified himself right here, if you ask me. Let a little video, let a one young lady who asking him, who's a moderator on Fox News, he doesn't want her asking him questions because she pissed him off and made him mad. And now he's not going to be on. But Fox News, they want Donald Trump there because Donald Trump means money. He means viewers and ratings. They want him there, but they're not going to beg his ass. I don't blame him. Donald Trump is he's so full of himself. The man is too full of himself. And like I said, the only way he can be president or any Republican can be president is that you stay home. Care about this country. If you don't want this country to be torn the damn part, then get out there November, and vote. Vote. This is how we got this ignorant-ass person in the governorship in Illinois. People did not vote, and also he bought the election. Now he wants to control the whole. He had a I'm talking about Bruce Rauner, okay? Governor Bruce Rauner. He had a State of the State speech the other day, and he did not mention one thing about the budget. We're going into our seventh, maybe eighth month without a budget in Illinois. And he had a speech yesterday. He didn't say anything about the budget. There are people down there in Springfield by the thousand protesting this guy. If Bruce Rauner think this is a joke, he better go back to wherever the hell he came from. People are going to rise up and throw his ass literally out of that governorship chair. So many people are angry at this guy. I mean, they're pissed. A lot of people don't even like him. But he is so steadfast in wanting to cut unions, wanting to make this state a right-to-work state, wanting to take over the schools, break the schools. He talks like he cares about stuff, but he doesn't. He wants this state, this city, our schools to be taken over by him and his billionaires. That's what he wants. And I'm going to stress to people, do not believe what he is saying. Do not believe what he is trying to sell you. Remember some of the things he said when he was running for Illinois? He's going to turn Illinois around. He's going to be, he's going to make this state, you know, a different kind of. He has ruined this state, and he's keep on ruining this state. So I guess the bottom line is what I'm trying to say. People, get out there and vote. Vote every time you're supposed to vote in the midterms. Don't just vote in the presidential race. You got to vote in the midterms because you have to give the president vote for people that the president can work with. The president cannot work with Republicans, okay? It ain't going to happen. You should know that by now. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. I'm all over the place. I will be back. Stay with me, people. Thank you for tuning in. Okay, we just got through talking about Donald Trump. Let me say a little bit more about Megyn Kelly. She's one of the moderators for Fox News. She will be moderating tonight's debate, Republican debate on Fox. Kelly was still set to moderate the debate, and Trump has, you know, I mean, he scheduled his own special event for veterans. All of a sudden, Trump loves veterans. In the past, not too distant past, the guy criticized veterans like I don't know what. you take John McCain. He said John McCain was not a hero because he got caught. He was a prisoner of war for years. And a lot of veterans was pissed off at that remark. And all of a sudden now Donald Trump is pro-veteran. He's never served a day in the military. You know, he's got all these deferments. He's never served a day. Donald Trump will be joined by a pair of long-shot candidates, former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee and Pennsylvania Senator Rick Santorum. Okay, let's move right along to the Democrats. Okay, a lot of people are criticizing Hillary because Hillary is off raising money in Philadelphia instead of out there shaking hands in Iowa. Well, I've always said Hillary is Wall Street. She's big banks. She's corporations. She's asking them for money. I guess she figures she needs enough money to take on Donald Trump. And Bernie Sanders is criticizing her. He says, hey, wow, she's out. See, I told you guys. I told you. She's bought off. She's paid for. I'm not. And he is not. He's right. She is. I always known it. And another reason why I am not for Bernie, I am for Bernie Sanders. I'm not for Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton would be a Barack Obama third term in office as president. And a lot of us, we don't want another term. We don't want another Barack Obama in office. At least I don't. She would be the third term for Barack Obama. She have said it. She have said it. Go back and research it. She have said it. She have mentioned it. Even Barack Obama has mentioned such. She will be a third term, and I don't want a third term. I want something different. I mean, when I voted for Barack Obama, I thought I was getting something different. I thought he was going to be the change that we could believe in. It didn't happen. Barack Obama would tell you it didn't happen because in his last State of the State speech, he was saying things like that he was sorry that he couldn't bring people together. I'm sorry he couldn't bring people together either. And he could not. He didn't bring people together. And a lot of us wanted him to do that, but he just couldn't do it. It was not in his DNA to do that. But we didn't know that until he was in office. And the reason why I voted for him in 2012 is because Mitt Romney was worse. He was bad. But so I went to the polls and I held my nose and voted for a lot of us held our nose and voted. Gave Barack Obama a second term in office. And now he's coming up on his last year in office. And he still can do things to become a great president. But he will have to do them using his executive authority. And that's something that Barack Obama, he has a problem using. He'll talk about using his executive power. But then he doesn't, or he claims that, you know, or he uses it in a real minute way where you can barely see anything being done when he actually uses his executive powers that we, the people, have given him. We've given him. So, you know, I mean, this is his last go around. So he still has time to do something great where we can, be proud of our president, you know? All right. Okay, here we go. All right, we've got in Illinois, as like I said, we've got we're going into our eighth month without a budget in Illinois. And everything is getting worse and worse and worse. Illinois is $9 billion in debt. And somehow this guy does not want to pay any bills. Illinois is going to rise up. We're going to revolt. It's going to be a revolution against this guy. We're not going to sit here, stand and take it while he devastates families, while he devastates the schools, the public schools, colleges, universities, while he devastates them, museums. He's already done so much to the state. I mean, you mentioned something horrible about Illinois, and it's probably true. This is historic. If I can say it, this is historic for this state. This has never happened to this state until we got this guy in here. So there's no way Bruce Rauner, the governor of Illinois, can blame someone else for this. This started the moment he became governor last year. And he had, and as of now, he cannot tout one successful thing he has done. Nothing he has done. And now he's blaming others he has done. His job is to pass a budget. His job is to pay Illinois' bills. His job is not to hurt families, but that's what he's doing. This guy wants his billionaire buddies to take over Illinois. It's not going to happen. All right, this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. I am ranting. And we got this one guy, Kim, what's his name? Oh, Ken Durkin. Yeah, he's a turncoat-ass Democrat in the Illinois legislature. He has been bought off by Bruce Rauner and his money. He's been brought off by Bruce Rauner and his buddies. This is the guy. This is the reason why the Democrats in the General Assembly cannot overturn or override anything that Rauner is doing or wants to do or will do, because this is a turncoat-ass Democrat, African-American, a Democrat who sides with a Republic who is devastating this state. So therefore, come November 2016, we're going to try everything we can to vote this asshole out of the General Assembly. He's a prick. He should be thrown out on his ass. He's crazy. He's lining his pockets with Rauner's money. So, and voting against everything that stands Democratic. And then he's trying to make some logical statement out of it that he's not beholden to Michael Madigan. No, he's not beholden to Michael Madigan. He's beholden to his constituency. He's beholden to his base. He's beholden to the people who put his ass in office. That's who he's beholden to. And they are going to take him out of office, throw his ass out, because he is stopping progress in the state of Illinois. I've seen his dumb ass on television. I really have. And I turned my screen off. I turned it off. I said, I can't stand this. There's nothing this guy can say after what he done just did, turncoat. I mean, you've got a lot of Democrats like that. This is why Democrats lose. They can't stick together. And Bruce Rauner's money is burning this asshole's pockets. I guess he said, even if I am voted out of office in November, at least I got some money. You know, so he may just go, once he's voted out, he may just go become a Republican. Maybe that's what he should do anyway. Bruce Rauner, even, let's say Ken Durkin, Doug Durkin, or whatever the hell his name is, Bruce Rauner is going to try to flood money into his campaign so he can be reelected. Tell you something, money is not all that there is. If people get out there and vote, Bruce Rauner's money will not put this asshole back in office. Not only Michael Madigan should be pissed off at this guy, but I'm pretty sure his constituency, his base, those folks that voted his ass in the office, I'm pretty sure they're pissed off because they are suffering under Bruce Rauner, while the guy they put in office has turned his back on him because he's being bought off, paid off with Bruce Rauner's money, and he's like it. Ken Duncan is not the only one. He's not the only, it's a few of them being bought and paid for. House niggers. It's a few of them that's being bought and paid for by this billionaire. His money is ruling. Not his policies, not what he's doing, not who he is. It's his cash. It's it's his money that's causing these African Americans to betray the people who put them in office. I've said this several times. A lot of these representatives in some of these state houses, they do not represent those people anymore. Even Bernie Sanders has said it. The people and the politicians in Washington do not represent the people who put their butts in office. They are representing big money. They have been bought and paid for. They don't represent you anymore. We put them in office. Now that they're rich, they are conniving and jiving, trying to keep their jobs, the jobs that we gave to them, without tax money. So, you know, Ken Duncan, you are out of there, man. You are done. You should be ashamed of yourself. You should be ashamed. If you didn't want to run as a Democrat, you shouldn't have done it. Let someone else who's going to be a real true Democrat, a real true progressive, be in that office. He is shameful. It's just shameful. All right, because if you are voting for Republican, I agree with Hillary Clinton on this one. You're voting for a Republican. You're voting for people who are going to take away your health care. They're going to take away Planned Parenthood. They could take away your Social Security, your pension, take away anything that you have to survive, because they don't care. They don't care about you. They don't. They want this country to be taken fully over by Republicans and their rich buddies. I used to wonder sometimes, why do people, billionaires and millionaires, just want to be in politics? Control, power. They've got all the money in the world, but they haven't got control and power, at least not the control and power that they want over states, cities, towns. They don't have it. They want it. And that's a shame. That is a shame. You are listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. Thank you, everybody, for being here. Thank you. I have no guests today, but I am fully booked for February. I'm always booked for the following month. And I want to play a little bit of Martin Luther King's last speech, if I can do that. Just a little bit. Is it the I Have a Dream speech, or is it just a little bit of his last speech?
All we say to America is be true to what you said on paper. If I lived in China or even Russia or any totalitarian country, maybe I could understand some of these illegal injunctions. Maybe I could understand the denial of certain basic First Amendment privileges, because they haven't committed themselves to that over there. But somewhere I read of the freedom of assembly. Somewhere I read of the freedom of speech. Somewhere I read of the freedom of press. Somewhere I read that the greatness of America is the right to protest far right. So just as I say, we aren't going to let any dogs or water hoses turn us around, we aren't going to let any injunction turn us around. Well, I don't know what will happen now. We've got some difficult ahead. But it really doesn't matter with me now, because I've been to the mountaintop. I don't mind. Like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place. But I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And he's allowed me to go up to the mountain. And I've looked over. And I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you. But I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land. So I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord.
I know if Martin Luther King was living today, he would be so disappointed because the Republicans have taken us back so far. So far. Okay, let's move right along. Okay, we're back on Donald Trump. Let's see what it says here. Donald Trump. I'm on Huffington Post, and it's saying that Donald Trump is giving America permission to hate women. I do think Donald Trump has a problem with women. There is no doubt about it. He says he doesn't. But you can go back, even years, and pull up videotape of him bashing women. Okay? He owned a Miss American pageant. And you can go back and hear him bashing women. Even on his Apprentice show, he was bashing women. And the women on his Apprentice show, they just sit back and take it. Thank you, Mr. Trump. You know, so he does, in my opinion, and from what I have heard, he does have a problem with women. He'll never admit it. In the wake of Donald Trump's announcement that he will not participate in January's 28th GOP debate because of Megyn Kelly Megyn Kelly is moderating, Kelly has been subject to a barrage of hateful abuse online. Okay? All right. It is disgusting and depressing, but not at all surprising for two reasons. Because many people read and feel empowered to talk to women online in a degrading and abusive way. And because Trump's campaign is built on this kind of stuff. Trump has trolled Kelly since August. Talked about her. Berated her, belittled her since August, and now his supporters are following his lead. Yeah. So whatever Trump is doing, if he's berating women, he's teaching and showing other idiots out there how to berate women. You are not lying. Trump is giving women a bad name, you know. And women are becoming second-class citizens. There's no doubt in Donald Trump's mind. You think of some of the women, the way they – you go to some of these Middle Eastern countries. Women have no rights. They can't drive a car. You know, they have no rights. They can't, you know, speak their mind or – they're not free. They're not – and these are some of the Muslim countries of the Middle East and some countries all around the world. Women have no rights whatsoever. They are inferior to the male, to the man. They're inferior in some parts of the world. I think the United States is the only country on earth where women are and can be strong women, strong. But with idiots like Donald Trump, he's taking women back, you know, to the days where they couldn't vote. You know, to the days where they, you know, were just women, to the days where they to the days where they were all treated as sex objects and nothing more. Sex objects and nothing more. This is Donald Trump's in his mind. This is what he's thinking. And his supporters are thinking the same thing. It's bad. It's sad. You know, so, okay, the sexiest slurs treated by make treated at, okay, these are some slurs from Twitter, I believe, that were treated at Megyn Kelly, the moderator that Donald Trump is scoriating. 59% says she's ugly. 423 tweets call Megyn Kelly a bitch. 88 tweets, she's a whore. 404 tweets, she's a bimbo. 128 tweets, she's blonde. 66 tweets, Megyn Kelly is cheap. 39 tweets, she's a skank. Slut, 27%. 27 tweets, slut. Hooker, 13. Cunt, 34. 40 tweets, that's something. So these are sexist slurs tweeted at Megyn Kelly because of Donald Trump. Let me go over this again. She's ugly. She's cheap. She's a skank. She's a blonde. She's a bimbo. She's a bitch. She's a whore. This is Donald Trump's base. This, and it stinks. It is awful. You know, and this guy will not show up for the debate. I hope it, you know, I don't know. I mean, he will never be president as long as people vote. Okay, criticizes Trump for objectifying women. And you know what? I don't understand it. Poses like, I mean, I don't understand this. Why is this guy leading in the polls? He's such a sexist clown. You know, you know what? And his supporters are tweeting this kind of stuff. I'm pretty sure he's okay with it. Because what? They've gotten it from him anyway. Anyway. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Black Talk Radio. I will be back, folks. Stay with me. Stay with me. All right. The whole world is talking about Donald Trump. And I said that at the beginning of the show, everybody who's anybody is talking about Donald Trump. And if you don't know anything about Donald Trump, then your head's in the sand and you should be ashamed of yourself. And because this is what's happening and you should be abreast of it. You know, and I try to teach my son a lot of this stuff too. Okay, it's right here. Let's move along. Let's get off Donald Trump. Kind of nauseous mentioning him on the show as I was nauseous mentioning Sarah Palin on my show a few days ago. Okay, let's move right along. Five reasons to vote for Bernie Sanders you won't see anywhere else. What are they? One, A vote for Bernie Sanders, a vote for Bernie Sanders in Iowa and New Hampshire is a vote for Sanders to win the presidency. Now that sounds great. I am a Bernie fan. And when they say feel the burn, they are serious. In Iowa and New Hampshire, Republican voters have the opportunity to more or less hand Donald Trump the Republican nomination. Should Trump win both states going away, it is likely at least 8 of the remaining 11 Republican candidates, including Trump's closest competitor, Ted Cruz, will no longer have any obvious path to the nomination. Well, there's some say he's not an American citizen anyway. He wasn't born in this country. And he was born in Canada, and that's for real. That's the truth. This is especially true given the Iowa bump. Trump would receive, heading into New Hampshire, and the New Hampshire bump Trump would receive, were he to then go and win New Hampshire. By comparison, Iowa and New Hampshire Democrats will play no significant role in determining who wins the Democratic nomination for president. In fact, the only thing they can do is decide whether or not Bernie Sanders' long shot campaign will continue. Oh, he's not a long shot anymore. He is a contender. He is a contender. There's no about it. Number two. A vote for Bernie Sanders is a vote for Hillary Clinton. Is that right? Nah, I kind of disagree with that. Okay, they're trying to explain themselves. Hillary is a thoroughly and unlikable candidate for high office. Okay. Even as most Democrats agree, she's a fully competent administrator. And when, as she is elected to a position of authority, okay, this campaign against Bernie is not only forces Clinton to improve her political chops in the view of an election that generally dislikes her electric. Wow. I believe that. I think some people do dislike her. You know, they dislike her because they feel like she's a liar. They can't trust her. She's, you know, so she's being bought off. Bernie is not bought off. And I'm going to go back to Trump. Donald Trump isn't bought off either. These people aren't bought off. Trump has his own money. Bernie is getting money from grassroots people who are giving him $10, $5, $30, $100, $1,000. This is how Bernie is getting by. Everything he wants in his campaign. He's not bought off, you know, like the rest of the field is, including Hillary Clinton, because she may be still in Philadelphia trying to raise money. Because one of the reasons why I hear she's trying to raise money so she can have enough money to run against Donald Trump. She's bought off. And this is one of the reasons why I don't want her as president, because she will definitely be an Obama third term, because Obama himself is Wall Street. He's Wall Street. He's corporate. There's no doubt about that. I mean, you look at Obama's cabinet and its makeup. Majority of the people in those cabinets are Wall Street. Majority of those people in those cabinets are holdovers from the Clinton administration of the 90s. So we know that Hillary is bought off, and I know that I don't want a third term of that. Okay? You know, Obama said he couldn't bring people together. Maybe Bernie can bring people together. Who knows? I know if I was president, I'd bring them together. I'd bang their heads together to make sure. Hey, get together. All right. You know, so, but I'm not a politician. I wouldn't be a politician you just couldn't get me to be the politician. Years ago, I thought about running for office and I was going to be the best politician I could, but I, the money wasn't there. And right now, my heart is not in it anymore. It's too much corruption. It's too much just maneuvering and lying, and I just don't want it anymore. I don't want it anymore. You know, so at this point, I am not a Republican. I'm not a Democrat. I am an independent. All right, you're listening to George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show. I will be right back. Stay with me, everybody. Thank you. Some adjunct professors in some of our universities, some of these people are just treated so badly by the faculty and the upper administration, and they're trying to unionize. They're trying to unionize. And I didn't know that being an adjunct professor was such a meaningless job pertaining to finances. But I'm pretty sure there's a lot of students out there who were taught greatly by adjunct professors. And I have a clip here, and I want, if you don't understand it, then listen to this.
So welcome to the Labor Forum today. We have two guests in the studio. We're really excited about this interview because we've been talking about low-wage workers here on WRFG's Labor Forum for many, many months, ever since really the campaign got launched by fast food workers 2 years ago, and it has actually just shaken the whole country. It has been such an exciting thing, and now we have, besides fast food workers, home health care workers, daycare workers, Walmart workers, retail workers, we now have included in this fight for at least a basic minimum wage at $15 an hour, adjunct professors. And we're happy that we have Sally in the studio with us, who's going to talk about what the conditions of this whole group of literally tens of thousands.
75% actually of the faculty that are teaching our college students are adjunct faculty.
So let me just introduce everybody. We have Paul McLennan, of course, in the studio, co-host of the Labor Forum and an ATU member. And our two guests are, as I mentioned, Sally, who is an adjunct professor, and Keisha Webb, who is here, and she is with a group called Faculty Forward, which is really sort of the organizing name across the country for adjunct professors. So now this is going to be a field of work that a lot of people who are listening and watching this program may not really be very familiar with. Most of us, I have to say, when we think of college professors, think of people, you know, one, they've got degrees up the wazoo, and they are very learned, and of course, they must be making lots of money, because this society says, get an education, and you'll have a good job.
Right.
So, tell us the real truth.
The real truth is, even as a full-time faculty member, and I have been full-time most of my career, I have to say, thank God, I have been a full-time faculty member, but even as a full-time faculty member, you don't make very much money, especially in the state of Georgia. Georgia is one of the lowest paid states, and the adjuncts are extremely low paid. For example, I'm working an adjunct position right now, where I am paid only approximately $1,400 for a 15-week course. So that means I'm getting paid less than $100 to teach a college course per week. That is definitely not a wage that you can live on. I'm here to tell you. I can't even begin to pay my student loans with that. I have a PhD and 20 years of experience teaching writing. And, lots of people might say, wow, you went in, you're an English major, you shouldn't have expected to get paid. Well, I didn't expect to get paid a lot. I didn't expect to become rich. I only expected that I would be able to provide for my family. I did all the right things. I stayed out of trouble. I went to school. I got my PhD. I taught a very practical class, which is teaching. I taught kids to write. I teach college students to write. So we wonder, where is all this money going, right? Well, the truth of the matter is, it's going to administrative bloat. They are not paying our faculty. They're paying administrators. When I started out 20 years ago, above me, I had a faculty chair who was usually not paid extra, just had a what we call a course release. They got one less course to teach. And then I had above that a dean, then a vice president, and then the president. Those were the only people who were between me and the president of the university. Now I have a faculty chair who is paid, a professional faculty chair. I have a division chair. I have an assistant dean. I have a dean. I have a vice president. And then I have a president. So we have like four or five more layers of administration. So if they want to provide so much administration, they, of course, have to cut what? Faculty, of course.
And raise tuition.
And they raise tuition, right. So our students are not, you're paying $40,000 for your kids to go to school, right? But of that $40,000, very, very little of it goes to faculty. And so how does that impact our students? I have no time to spend with my students. And even if I did have time to spend with my students, because I am what's called an adjunct faculty, I only work part-time, I don't have an office. I don't have a telephone. I don't have access to a fax machine. I don't have access to a printer. I don't have access to technology. I don't have access to anything once I'm outside the classroom. So anything that I'm going to provide my students outside the classroom is going to come out of my own pocket. If they call me on my cell phone, which they do, I pay my own cell phone bills. That money is not compensated to me. So what we're asking for with Faculty Forward is that they start to compensate us for what we're worth. And we're worth a whole heck of a lot more than $1,400 for a 15-week course. If you're charging 25 students about $500 maybe to take that class, then they're making, wow, a lot of money on just one class, and then they're paying me $1,400.
Let me first ask. People will say, what's this word adjunct? I never heard this word. Where did it come from? Why are you called an adjunct?
Adjunct is like an appendix. It means you're extra. You're not necessarily required to be there. Yeah.
But you said at the very beginning of this interview that a huge percentage of the courses,
between 73% and 78%, depending on which study you look at.
And these are state schools.
Yeah, this is all schools.
Fat.
This is all private, public, for-profit, all of them. Actually, for-profits are more likely to have adjuncts and to treat them worse than public institutions. And if you have a community college, that's more dependent on adjuncts than a four-year school or a research institution. As you go to more prestigious colleges, they have fewer and fewer adjuncts, or they report fewer and fewer adjuncts. Now, if you have a lot of the problem with studying how many adjuncts there are is that the colleges don't report them. They don't report them as faculty, and that's something that we need them to be honest about. And so there's three actual points to Faculty Forward. The first is that we want to have $15,000 per course, and that includes pay and benefits, okay? So it's not just pay, it's also benefits. So if I'm traveling back and forth between three different institutions, shouldn't I be compensated for my gas? It's just small things like that. Okay. The second thing is we want to increase the quality of education. And by bringing adjuncts up, and making sure that they have the tools to do the work that they are doing and to educate our students as they should be educated, then we are automatically bringing up education. We're bringing those standards up. And the third is to hold responsible those people who are not acting in an appropriate way. And most of them are for-profit institutions that are paying very low wages, making a lot of money, and then throwing our kids out on the street with no degrees and a lot of student loan debt. So those are some of the, and also controlling the cost of education, which is fighting that administrative bloat. We do not need to be administrated and administrated and administrated, okay? Yeah, we need some administrators, it's true, and there's some really good ones and there's some really bad ones, but we do need them. We just don't need so many.
Well, the other thing that strikes me is I've read some studies about the multi-hundred-thousand-dollar salaries.
Yeah.
Presidents of universities, including public universities, get, and then that's not even talking about the million-dollar salaries that sports directors
actually
and
some
coaches get.
Some presidents get $1 million. You can look actually directly on the USG has the University System of Georgia has all of their faculty wages. It's state of Georgia actually. All of the faculty, staff, everybody's wages. For how much they pay everyone, right up there on the internet. And if people take a look at it, you'll be shocked. You'll be shocked at how much administrators are getting paid, and you'll be shocked at how little the faculty is getting paid.
I want to bring Keisha into this conversation. So Faculty Forward is a national movement.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what's the difference between graduate students who are also organizing and adjuncts? Is there a blurred line there, or is this something separate?
It's something separate. So, I mean, they do kind of blur a little bit because universities typically use both adjuncts and graduate students to keep their costs low. So an adjunct professor is essentially a part-time professor that's paid per course. A graduate student is someone who is pursuing their PhD and who might
or
get
their master's.
Or their master's, who might get a stipend for teaching a course. And so...
Okay, so I know, for example, I'm a retired UAW, and I know that there have been some graduate students who have affiliated with United Auto Workers, a very interesting concept, and have gotten contracts and certainly moved towards better conditions for the graduate students. Now, if there was to be the idea to be in a union, an association for adjunct professors...
Are you asking me?
I am asking you, Sally.
Okay. We really need some type of parity. We have to have someone asking for justice. And if we can't get justice from the government, and we can't get justice from our own legislatures, and we can't get justice from our own Board of Regents, we have to turn to a union to get justice. And that's the American way. We have to find a way to make people realize that paying administrators hundreds of thousands of dollars and paying faculty nothing and putting your students' education at the hands of people who have no allegiance to the college I teach at. Nobody talks to me. I'm not trained. I don't know what anybody else is doing. I don't have any governance. I don't even have an office. Do you think I'm giving the best kind of education to your child? I try, but I can't. I can't because I am not empowered to do that.
So, Sally, can you tell us, and our listeners here at WRG and those who are watching on the YouTube channel, what the connection is? We just discovered, to maybe many people's surprise, that so many of the people who are in the classroom at colleges and universities across the country and here in the state of Georgia are literally living in under poverty,
mm-hmm.
with making wages no higher, no better than many of the other low-wage workers we've had on this program, whether
right.
it's fast food workers, Walmart workers, home health care, daycare, etc. Okay, so there still could possibly be some sentiments among adjunct professors that I'm not with these other folks. I got an education. Can you talk to those who have maybe are harboring those opinions why adjunct professors, teachers, people who have gotten degrees and are in an academic setting should be hand in hand, shoulder to shoulder with fast food workers and all the other low wage workers?
Well, look, I don't think any of us could ever think that we're above other classes, quote unquote, of people who have not gotten the higher education. I think that we're in the trenches. We're teaching our students every single day, and we love those students. I mean, I went into teaching because I love my students, and I think that we see a lot of what they have to go through as the same as what we have to go through. It's just that we've already gone through it. I mean, we already. And most of us, you know, we've been there, done that. We know what it's like to be a low-wage worker, okay, because we were low-wage workers when we were trying to get through school, and then we were low-wage workers when we were graduate students, and now, again, we're low-wage workers, even though we have our degrees, and even though we are trying to work, and we have families, and so we can lift them up, and they can lift us up. And I think that that's important, that we're working together, because if we don't stand together, as they say, if we don't hang together, we hang separately. And we have to make sure that we're getting some type of justice.
So everybody knows, I think, the whole wide world, that on April 15th, there's going to be a mobilization of literally tens and tens of thousands of low-wage workers in this country, and then perhaps around the world, I don't know that. But this is a movement whose time has clearly come. So could you tell our listeners what's going to happen on April 15th here in Atlanta?
Well, what's going to happen on April 15th? We're having a rally in the Morris Brown parking lot at 5 p.m. We are going to be standing together and asking for justice and asking for wages, what we're worth. And we are going to be asking everyone to come out and to show strength, because if we don't show strength, we can't speak truth to power.
So the details again, do you have the exact address of this parking lot at Morris Brown?
We don't have the exact address. It's going to be in the quad at Morris Brown. If you go to our Facebook page, we'll have the information up there.
The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air. Okay, I'm just now hearing that the teachers in Chicago, the public schools, they've just received a received a great, great contract from Mayor Rahm Emanuel. They will not be striking. That's my sense. Okay, they've just received and it seems like they're happy, you know. They won't be striking. They've received some monies from Chicago. We're broke. The schools are broke, and obviously they like what they like the contract that they've received or is about to receive. That's great. That's good news. The unions said that, hey, wow, they can talk. They're negotiating, and positive things are happening. But on the other foot, Bruce Rauner, the governor, does not like it. He does not like what he deems to be Mayor Rahm Emanuel caving into the unions. He doesn't like it, because the other day, Bruce Rauner was fuming at the mouth because he wants to bust unions so bad. I mean, you almost feel sorry for the guy. He wants unions so bad. I mean, what Republican don't? I've said this many times. We've got so many Republicans in some of these and these Republican states around the country, and they are wreaking havoc on their people. you take Rick Snyder of Flint, Michigan, deliberately. I think it was deliberate, to change clean water over to dirty water and have the residents drink it, and some of them have died over it. I think that was deliberate. I think it was criminal. But is he going to go to jail? Probably not. But this is just another rogue as Republican governor. Kansas, Governor Sam Brownback. This guy has wreaked havoc on his state. I mean, I can go from Mississippi, Alabama, Atlanta. I mean, you name it. Dallas. Not Dallas, but Louisiana. Republican governors wreaking havoc on the people of their states. Illinois is no exception. We are no exception. So the teachers are getting a new contract, so maybe that will stop them from striking in the near future. But I will say this again, Rauner does not like it. He hates it. Okay, the CTAU president, Karen Lewis, she says she is considering a serious offer being made by the city. And a serious offer of a contract. A new contract. Mm-hmm. So let's see what it says. The Chicago Teachers Union, something Rauner doesn't want to hear. He doesn't like that word, union. No, no, no. The Chicago Teachers Union said it is considering a serious offer from Chicago Public Schools, Forrest Claypool, enough to put the proposal before its 40-member big bargaining team. Go down. On Monday for a vote. Okay, CTU President Karen Lewis said that the basic framework of the deal calls for an economic concession exchange for enforceable protections of education, quality, and job security. Okay? Now, Rauner doesn't like that. He don't want to hear anything about unions, job security. You know, he doesn't want collective bargaining, union contracts. That's a misnomer for the governor of Illinois, because he wants to bust unions. He wants them. However, if you look at the city and Mayor Rahm Emanuel, this is a slap in the face of Governor Rauner. This is a slap in his face because he wants to bust unions, and it appears that the unions in Chicago are getting stronger because of his lack of a budget, because of his meanness, his vileness, his nastiness, his uncaringness. This is, I'm going to say it, a slap in the face of Bruce Rauner, which it ought to be, because he hates unions. He can't stand them. And after a period of intense and difficult bargaining, the CTU, Chicago Teachers Union, have received a serious offer from the Chicago Public Schools. She said in a comment. Okay, let's see if we can click off of this. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio, broadcasting live from Chicago. It's 7:10 Chicago Standard Time, 35 degrees outside. It is just wonderful, wonderful. Okay, it goes on to say union leaders and lawyers apparently consider the deal serious enough to put it to a vote. Okay, so it's not a done deal before the group of 40 teachers, social workers, and certain other school workers that's tasked with making a tentative agreement. About 800 union delegates then must finalize the contract. The same big bargaining team, okay, capital letters, wow, could not reach an agreement while meeting with CPS leaders recently, King Holiday. I do think that they're going to accept this. I really do, because accepting this, like I said just a minute ago, is a slap in the face of Bruce Rauner, because this guy hates unions. just like every other Republican governor around the country, hates unions. I mean, this guy, this governor, Scott Walker of Wisconsin, he has bust unions wide open. I mean, he has bust unions. Unions are no longer viable in Wisconsin. So in Wisconsin, you got people working with no representation, no protections in the workplace. Nothing. At whim, they can have their lord decreased. There's just nothing they can do in Wisconsin. And from what I'm hearing, Bruce Rauner wants to be another Scott Walker. Scott Walker is a failed governor. He's a failed presidential candidate. Now he's taking it out on the people of his state. Why is it that the rich are always stepping on the backs of those who are trying to make ends meet? I just don't understand it. I don't see it. It just doesn't make sense. It just does not make any sense, but it's happening all around the United States. We voted for Obama. Somehow his hands are tied. He can't do anything. I don't know. He's just sitting back letting this happen, but I'm pretty sure there's a big argument with that. 347-857-1762. Opinion and commentary on the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live out of Chicago. It is now 7:13 Chicago time, 35 degrees outside. It's a beautiful, beautiful day. I mean, I think last week I was on the radio. I was saying, God, excuse me. I was saying, man, it is cold. But now it feels as though it's okay. And I'm waiting on now, a lot of us are waiting on daylight saving times. You know, the day is going to get longer, and that's great. I mean, whenever you see or feel the day is getting longer, you smell summer, right? I smell summer. And that is one of the greatest things. Summer is coming. I got to get myself ready together for summer, okay? The family is going to get ready for a good time summer. All right, let's take a little break right here. We should be right back. Thank you so much, guys. I truly enjoy it. I do. All right, the head of Chicago Public Schools, Forrest Claypool, says that Governor Bruce Rauner didn't help by floating a plan to take over Chicago Public Schools and declare bankruptcy. You know, so that's what Rauner wanted to do with the schools. This guy, he's a mess. He's a piece of work. You know, it didn't help, but it wasn't the reason for the delay in the bonds. Okay, so people are trying to live their lives without the help from the state, but it's hard. Some people can, some people cannot. There is an impact on everyone who resides in the state of Illinois from this budget impasse. There is no budget. He did not talk about a budget. It didn't happen. It wasn't happen. Okay, I'm going to quote him again. All right. It's very common to test the market, then delay. Investors come in and ask a lot of questions. They want answers. It's a structured deal that has a lot of complexity. Some of our significant investors ask for a little bit more time to look at the documents. Fairly routine. Yeah, that's routine. But you got to look at it this way. The city's credit rating has been downgraded. That means the city can borrow money, but they have a higher interest rate. For things to be right in Illinois, all this guy's got to do is sign a damn budget. That's all he has to do. Grab a pen and just sign a budget that the legislature puts on his desk. Sign a budget. He's got to give us all this old rigmarole talk. That talk means nothing when people are starving, when they can't do this, they can't losing their jobs, funding cuts. Do your job, Bruce Rauner. Do your job. You're not doing your job. If we didn't do our job, we would be fired. You don't do your job, you still get to keep your job. That's ridiculous. I don't understand that. That's ridiculous. And you're not doing it. You can use all the executive powers you want, but if you don't have a budget, 8 months and going into a budget, even the Republicans have told this guy to sign a budget. He won't do it. I'm not going to give in. If you're going to fight me, I'm going to fight back. Those are his words. He's going to fight back. You cannot fight the citizens of this state if they decide to rise up. Cannot fight 3 or 4 million people in the state of Illinois if they're pissed off at you. You cannot do that, and he knows he can't. I guess he means he's going to try to fight with lawyers, maybe. You know, of course, Bruce Rauner's got plenty of money. He can buy the whole damn court system in Illinois, the Supreme Court, Illinois Supreme Court. He can buy it. But he cannot buy people of Illinois. He cannot buy them. Of course, his money is king to some of those turncoat-ass Democrats in the General Assembly, bought the hell off. There are so many African-Americans Bruce Rauner has bought off as a damn shame. That's another reason why this is flux. He's bought off these house niggas, as I call them, to do their own people in, because they want money. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. And thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for tuning in. Don't forget to tell your family and friends about this show if they don't know about it. Don't forget to share the show with whomever you think may be interested in Terry on the George Wilder Jr. Show. And I also have some great guests on the show coming up for February. Do not miss that. They are great. They are always so informative. I love having guests on the show because I learn stuff too. Okay. I'm not the smartest hen in the basket, but in the hen house, I told you. I learn stuff too from them, and I appreciate a lot of them being on the show, and most of them are great. Okay. And I enjoy my callers, when they call in, I enjoy them too. And, you know, they enjoy the show. And that's great. That's wonderful. All right. You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. And it is right here. I love this little drum. Great. And then the doorbell, right? You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, and we're just about off the air. Stay with me, everybody. We're back. You're back on the George Wilder Jr. show. Mayor, as I'm talking, the mayor of Chicago, Mayor Emanuel, Rahm Emanuel, is now on television. He's on television. He's on PBS NewsHour, and he's being interviewed. And one of the things that struck me that he has said so far is that crime is up. Crime is up. Crime is out of control in Chicago. But he's saying, but you know, he's the mayor. He's going to say, well, we're on it. We're all on it. You know, crime is up. Some people say crime is down. Crime is up. But, you know, and also crime in Chicago is more in your face. I mean, it's in broad daylight. It's downtown. Criminals, they are more blatant than ever, you know. So he is, from the tone of the interview, he is committed on lowering crime in the city of Chicago. You know, we haven't got a superintendent yet. We have an acting superintendent. The only thing he's brought in some guy who from another city who has 30 years being on the police force in Chicago. He's not the superintendent. He will not be. But he is being paid $350 per hour to just advise. He's an advisor. Wow. Consultant. But, you know, $350 an hour just to advise. I mean, that's a good job if you can get it. $350 an hour to just give you a few pointers, point things out or whatever, you know. But I mean, if that's the way they waste taxpayer money, I don't know. As crime continue to escalate in this town, the more he is advising, the more these guys out here shooting up everybody and hitting people in the head, robbing, cutting, slashing. Crime is rampant. you know, my son is out here in the streets every day going to school and doing whatever. And, you know, I'm always saying to myself, I just hope he comes back home. You know, because even though we're in a pretty safe area, any crime can happen anywhere, anytime to anybody. You know, so, you know, I always fear for him because crime is always out of control. With the Uber and the cab drivers down, they're being, I thought I heard something in my ear, 90 seconds. They are being criminalized by some of these thugs, young thugs. And a lot, like I said before, a lot of these criminals are just young thugs. Some of them are 14, 15, 16 years old, you know, traveling around, walking around with their young whores, you know, doing harm to people. Bad, bad parenting. What can I say? All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. I will be back on Black Talk Radio on Monday. I'm going to take a few days off to do some writing and some publicity and some marketing, you know, and probably do a little exercising, you know. And so I won't be back until Monday, and that will be the 1st of February, 2016. So if you listen to the show at a later date, then you know it's an archive podcasted show. All right, I'm going to go off the air, and I will see you guys on Monday. Bye-bye. Thanks for being with me.